All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So, as was just mentioned, this is actually our last shiur for this particular session, and so we're going to close out by spending another week on Kapitel Chavav, Kapitel 26. So, take a look at number one. So, just a quick review from last week. We focused really last week the entire shiur on the two opening psukim of this particular kapitel. L'David shavteni Hashem ki ani b'sumi halachti u'ba'Hashem batachti lo emadov. David, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked with sincerity and I trusted in the Lord, I shall not falter. So we discussed last week two primary things. First of all, the idea that this kapitel opens up with L'David, as opposed to Mizmor L'David or L'David Mizmor, which refer to David HaMelech's different states of inspiration. This particular kapitel is just simply L'David. We saw Rav Hirsch and many others who explain that L'David doesn't represent a prophecy. L'David doesn't represent a message from God. L'David doesn't represent even David HaMelech engaging in personal prophecy, but rather it's a stream of consciousness of David HaMelech. Any kapitel that begins with L'David is David HaMelech sharing with us his deepest, most profound, and ultimately intimately personal thoughts. What was the theme of the kapitel? So we focused on two general ideas last week. Number one is that David HaMelech was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see that I am sincere, I am genuine, both in my thoughts as well as my deeds. We discussed the idea that very often people perhaps may again present themselves in a certain pious light, but perhaps their thoughts, their emotions, or the things that they engage in behind closed doors do not really mirror that external piety. So David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shafteini, judge me, ki ani betumi halachti. I'm tamim, I'm complete. What you see is what you get. Again, David HaMelech not claiming that he's perfect, because remember, one of the great accomplishments of the Davidic personality is the ability to acknowledge one's faults, one's shortcomings, to own them, and to try to go out and repair them. So I'm not perfect, but at least I'm genuine. Second approach we saw is based on the Gemara, that what David HaMelech was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this kapitel was for what? For what? To test him. Excellent. That David HaMelech was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shafteini, judge me, test me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go ahead. Remember the Gemara said that David HaMelech wanted to know, I want to take my place among the avos. I want to be the fourth leg of the divine throne. Not in a gaivadik, not in an arrogant way. David HaMelech was asking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I self-actualize in a way that allows me to become as great as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Avos had their trials and tribulations. They had their tests. So David, if you want to rise to that occasion, you have never been tested. And David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me. And we saw again the disastrous results of that invitation for testing. David HaMelech invites Nisayon and ultimately fails miserably with the episode of Bathsheba. Yes. You know, that's what the Gemara says. You know, I think I don't see why you can't imagine that it's literally. And that's the whole profundity. David HaMelech, we saw, took certain measures during the day to make sure that he wouldn't be tempted. And Mamish, that night, that's the whole point. You invite this Nisayon, and ultimately he falls. So, I don't know. I understood it literally, but probably the same message is even if it was two nights or three nights later, it would be the same thing. Correct. Yes. Correct. That's why the Gemara is not talking about the fact that, and we've spoken about this many times, that David HaMelech, technically speaking, did not commit an act of adultery with Bathsheba, because one of the interesting innovations that David HaMelech had was the fact that David HaMelech instructed his soldiers before they went out to war to give a conditional divorce, a conditional get to his wife, to their wives. The reason for that is David HaMelech wanted to prevent the aguna potential. Because remember, a woman could be in an aguna situation, especially when a husband goes out to war. If he's missing in action, is he dead, is he alive, could impact your status. So David HaMelech made each of his soldiers give their wives a conditional get, which essentially said, if I don't return within X number of days after the battle is over, you are retroactively divorced. Every conditional get has, without getting into the laws of gittin, has to be retroactive, because there's no such thing as a posthumous get. You can't give a get after you're dead. So the only way to activate a retroactivity, to create this type of situation, is to create a retroactivity clause. So it turned out Bathsheba's husband died in battle. died in battle. Again, he died in battle because David HaMelech put him on the front lines intentionally. But when he died, retroactively, that meant that Bathsheba was divorced on that night that David HaMelech was with her. That's why the Gemara says, "Kalo Omer David Chata, Eino Elatov." If you say that David HaMelech committed adultery, you're absolutely wrong. It's not true. But at the same time, it's clear that it was a major lapse. That's for sure. So a chait, in the terms of that it was adultery, absolutely not. But a major moral lapse on the part of David HaMelech, unequivocally yes. And that even David HaMelech talks about. That even HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech. So again, what's over here is we're not focusing on necessarily the mechanics of the sin, because it wasn't the sin in a technical sense. We're focusing on the fact that David HaMelech invited Nisayon, he invited challenge, and clearly the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put that challenge before him was because he wasn't ready to withstand it. And therefore, in this capital, David HaMelech asks for challenge. Ultimately, when he gets it, he is not yet ready to be able to stand up to it. So those are the two kind of thematic overtones that we discussed in last week's capital. I want to continue a little bit this week by focusing on one pasuk from the capital. If you take a look at pasuk vav, so I underline this because what we're going to focus on today. David HaMelech says, "Erchatz b'nikayon kapai, va'asobava es mizbechacha Hashem." Literally, "I washed my hands with cleanliness, and I encompassed your altar, O Lord." So what does this mean? First of all, the pasuk is interesting on a number of different levels of Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. David HaMelech just said, Erchatz kapai, I've washed my hands, whatever that means. But why? I washed my hands in cleanliness. Va'asobavas mizbechacha Hashem. And I have circled your mizbech. What's intriguing about that? There's no mizbeach. I mean, there are personal altars. There are bamos. David HaMelech does move the Aron to Yerushalayim. But remember, again, the Mishkan as we had it is no longer in existence. David HaMelech did not build the Beis HaMikdash. So what does this mean that he's circling the mizbeach? So two fundamental questions. Why this almost repetitive wording of Erchatz b'nikayon kapai? I have washed in the cleanliness. Washing, bless you. Washing by definition has a connotation of cleanliness. So why the need to say both things? And number two, what is the meaning of this circling of the mizbeach? So, time permitting, we'll go with about three or four different approaches today. So let's begin. And the truth is, these approaches will pretty much tie into the first approach from last week, meaning this whole idea that the capital is David HaMelech inviting Nisayon. We're going to leave that in last week's share. This week, we're really going to focus a little bit more on David HaMelech saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see that I'm genuine both in my deeds as well as in my actions. Excuse me, in my thoughts as well as my deeds. Take a look at number two. The Malbim writes, Erchatz, eini rochet es kapai b'mayim, kimo shirochtzim hayadayim min akiyar be'esh setzarech lalo salam izbeach, rak b'nikayon erchatz kapi. So David HaMelech says, you know, when the Kohen comes in to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing he has to do is something called kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. He has to sanctify, he has to wash his hands and feet. If a Kohen does the avodah without sanctifying his hands and feet, there's an automatic death penalty for doing the avodah in such an unclean state. So David HaMelech says, when I come to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't just simply wash my hands from the kiyor, from the sink, in the way that a Kohen would normally have to do when he goes before the altar. Rak b'nikayon erchatz kapai. When I wash, I don't just simply wash, but rather I wash myself with cleanliness. What does this mean? B'mash ani noki mikol chet v'shemetz ayidei rechitzas hanefesh. Zehu harechitza sheli. So says the Malbim so beautifully that what David HaMelech is saying, and again, this fits in very beautifully to the theme we saw last week. David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you might have many tainus against me. I have faults, I'm a human being, I have shortcomings, but one thing, Ribono Shel Olam, is I'm genuine. One thing is what you see is what you get. And when I come before you, Erchatz, I clean myself, b'nikayon kapai, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai, not just simply a cleansing, not just an external washing. Erchatz could refer to an external washing. Naki refers to an internal cleanliness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just see that when I come before you, and according to the Malbim, when David speaks about circling the Mizbeach is just simply a metaphor for closeness to God. So Ribono Shel Olam, when I approach you, just understand that I am coming before you in a total state of genuinity. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I'm coming in a genuineness. I'm coming with a total sense of genuineness. Erchatz, I come externally purged from sin to the best of my ability, b'nikayon, but I also come internally clean as well. That's the Malbim. Look at number three. The Mitzudas David is similar. Approach number two is similar to approach number one, but with one very nuanced difference. Says the Mitzudas David, Erechatz, Rotze lomar b'tchila anakeh kapai milichluch avon. First, I will go ahead and cleanse my hands from any type of, literally, uncleanliness from sin. Va'achar zeh, asoveiv mizbechacha lahakriv ba lahashem. And only afterwards will I approach the altar to offer to God. Ki lula hanikayon, because without the cleanliness, ein hakarban mekubal baratzon. Without the cleanliness, the offering will not truly be accepted. So according to the Mitzudas David, he's not as worried about erchatz and nikayon. What he understands is really a two-part process. Part number one, erchatz b'nikayon kapai. First part is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to remove the uncleanliness. Uncleanliness of what? Uncleanliness of sin. I have to remove the uncleanliness of sin before what? Before Va'asov Va'as Mizbechacha Hashem. I have to remove the uncleanliness of sin before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have the ability to approach you. Similarly, look at number four, the Eben Ezra. No, I'm sorry. Rashi, excuse me. Number four, Rashi. Rashi says over here, I'm sorry. Rashi says over here, number four, B'nikayon, She'ein gezel b'mitzvos. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is no theft in my mitzvos. What does that mean? She'ani mekayim lulav ha'gozel posel. This is a very strange Rashi, that lulav ha'gozel literally means a stolen lulav. So the Gemara discusses the idea that you cannot fulfill your obligation on Sukkot with a stolen lulav. Much in the same way that you can't fulfill your mitzvah on Pesach with stolen matzah. We call that what? A mitzvah haba ba'avera. Mitzvah haba ba'avera. So David HaMel says, Rashi is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, just know when I serve you, because remember, the common denominator over here between Rashi and the Mitzudas David is, Va'asoveva es mizbechacho Hashem, is of course not referring to sacrificial service, because there is no mizbeach, so to speak, that David HaMelech is referring to. There are bamos, there are personal altars. But again, what it's referring to is closeness to God. So what Rashi, the Mitzudas David so far, are saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before I go ahead and approach you, before I approach the altar of connection with you, what do I first do? I clean my hands from any sin. When I serve you at Kodesh Baruch Hu, there is no sin involved in that service. I don't use a stolen lulav. Look at number five, the Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra writes, Erchatz tam b'nikayon shelo asa achas mimitzos lo sa'aseh va'az va'asoveg mizbechacha ba'olo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Eben Ezra, David HaMelech says, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai means I do not violate prohibitions. I don't violate lo sa'aseh's prohibitions and then go ahead and approach you. Number six, Radak, we'll tie this all together in just a moment. Radak, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai v'asovens mizbechacha Hashem. Ukishe Erchatz b'nikayon kapai, only when I wash my hands. Az asovavas mizbechacha Hashem. Lahakriv sham olosai. Lo kirish shayim. David HaMelech says, I'm not like the wicked. Shemeviim olos biyadehem. V'yedehem damim mileyu. I'm not like the wicked, because what do the wicked do? The wicked come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all types of offerings, but their hands are stained with blood. Blood could literally mean bloodshed, or blood could just be a metaphor for sin. Aval ani, mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani erchatz b'nikayon kapai. I first cleanse myself, shelo yiyeh biyadi shum avon. I make sure that I first cleanse myself from all sin, and then only afterwards, kisha'avo lahakrib olos. I first purge myself from sin, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I come before you to offer myself. So what is this? What is David HaMelech saying over here? You know, there's a concept in halacha, we've mentioned this before as well, of tovel v'sheretz biyado. Let's say a person goes ahead, and let's say a person is tameh, a person is ritually impure. So I have to go to the mikvah. So I go to the mikvah, and I dunk, and I go up, and I go down. All the kavanos, only one issue. Again, you'll excuse the image, but, you know, I'm holding a dead rodent in my hand. Right? But otherwise, again, no chatzitzas, there's nothing interrupted between myself and the water, up, down, multiple times, I'm holding a dead sheretz, I hold a dead rodent in my hand. So the Gemara uses this as a euphemism for someone who looks like he or she is going through the steps of purification, but in reality is actually holding on to the very source of tumah. This is one of the greatest challenges of the human condition, because everyone wants to be good. I don't even have to take a poll. Right? Everyone wants to be good. Everybody wants to be pure. Everybody wants to be holy. Everybody wants to grow. But what's the problem? We're not always ready to let go of the things that are holding us back. We're not really ready to let go of the things that ultimately are the very sources of tumah. So instead, what we like to try to do is we like to have our cake and eat it too. Or our, I would say our sherets and eat it too. But that would not be good. We like to have, so what do we want to do? I want to grow. I want to grow. Asovavas mizbechacha Hashem. I want to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to have a beautiful, passionate relationship with God. I want to feel a sense of connection. But the truth is, I'm not really ready to make those changes. I'm not really ready to let go of those things that are holding. I'm not really ready to purge myself or my life of those very things that ultimately create impurity. That's called Tovel v'sheretz biyado. So David HaMelech says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And remember, the greatness of David HaMelech. The greatness of David HaMelech is that he was imperfect. And the greatness of David HaMelech is that he acknowledged his imperfections. Because remember, this is why Sefer Tehillim is such a beautiful, it's like the playbook for life. It tells us what to do, how to live, how to rebound from mistakes. So David HaMelech saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's one thing you have to give me credit for, which is, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. I know the things that hold me back. I know the things that ultimately sully and tarnish my neshama. And you know what? I'm brave enough and strong enough to detach myself from them. And then only after I detach from the negative things that hold me back, only then do I know that I have the right to approach you. But to approach you while my hands are still dirty, that really is an exercise in futility. David HaMelech actually states this concept in black and white terms later on in Tehillim, where he says, Sur Meira V'Aseh Tov. I should have put that on the sheet. Turn away from that which is negative, and then do good. Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev explains that David HaMelech is giving us a sequential order. You see, people, in general, if you notice, you know where you see this the most during Elul? So often when, because Elul, all of us, I mean, we're all supposed to live, truth is, every day should be Elul. Every day should be a day of introspection. But human nature is not always like that. But at least one time, 1 month out of the year, we become very introspective. And very often what happens is when people want to change or they want to become better, what do we always focus on? What we're going to do. I'm going to take this on, right? I'm going to take on this. I'm going to take on that. I'm going to spend extra time doing this. All very good things. But it doesn't address the core of change. The core of change, the first step in profound, cathartic, fundamental change has nothing to do with what you're going to do. Profound, cathartic, comprehensive change begins by identifying the factors that are holding me back. Because we all have things that hold us back. Whether it's things internally, whether it's peer issues, people, again, we associate with, whatever it may be, all of us, we're all tethered, we're all shackled to something. And the first step of change is identifying what am I shackled to and how do I get myself detached or deshackled from it. Because the truth is, if I just, and that's what everyone says, sur meira. The first step is try to get away from those things that are holding you back. And then afterwards, aseh tov, then do good. Because if you skip to the aseh tov, which to be honest, is the easy part. Right, it's really easy to take on additional things. It's easy, not necessarily easy to maintain it, but it's easy to at least take it on. Right? And again, the truth is it's fun, it's exciting, it's meaningful. If I skip to Aseh Tov and I skip Sur Meira, ultimately the Aseh Tov won't be sustained. It's just not sustainable. It'll be good, and again, I want to be clear, certainly doing Aseh Tov even before Sur Meira is better than nothing. It's a great, but the reason why sometimes change becomes so frustrating for people, because what happens? We know what happens, right? Comes a week after Sukkot, right? And I look out to my list that I made myself for Elul, and what happens? Baruch Hashem, no one here knows, because you all do the right process, right? But I've heard from other people that sometimes what happens is, it fell by the wayside. And certainly now you come post Hanukkah time and I look at where I was, Elo, what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be in my year. And the truth is, I'm not there. I'm not there. Why? So we get very upset at ourselves, right? Sometimes we think because I don't care enough, I don't try hard enough. It's not true. We try very hard. We are very committed. We try our best. Remember, often in life, the reason we don't get to where we want to get to is not because of a lack of effort. It's just not the right effort. Like Lahavdil, if I go to the gas station and I go ahead and I put diesel in my car's not going to run. But one second, but the needle says F, right? The needle says the tank is full. It's very nice the tank is full, but the tank is not full with the right fuel. So often we fill up the tank, but it's not the right thing to get us moving. And that's David HaMelech is saying over here. It has to be Sur Meira. And this is very difficult. It's probably one of the most difficult things in life because, and we spoke about this before, very often the things that hold us back are things that are very important to us in our lives. Sometimes it's people that are very important to us. Sometimes it's things in life that we enjoy very much. Sometimes it's circumstances that give us an incredible amount of pleasure. But at the end of the day, they're holding us back. So David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again, this is a continuation of the genuineness theme. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've been brave enough to identify the things that hold me back. And I've been brave enough to detach myself from them, even though what? Even though it hurts to leave them behind. Even though it hurts to release them. Even though, again, and in David HaMelech's life, as we go through Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech will be more specific about these things. But David HaMelech, as I've pointed out to you in the past, carries with him an incredible amount of baggage. David HaMelech was terribly mistreated by his family. He was terribly mistreated by his father, not in a physical way, but in an emotional way. We know that because remember when Shmuel HaNavi comes to look for a king from the sons of Yishai, it doesn't even occur to Yishai to call in David from the field. David is an afterthought. He was disparaged by his brothers. And David HaMelech, understand, has an incredible amount of pain because what happened to David HaMelech's family? Right? They were all killed. Right? Mrs. Gerber knows because she comes to the Shabbos afternoon Navi Shir. Right? So we're learning again Shmuel Beis on Shabbos afternoons. David HaMelech's entire family was wiped out by the king of Moab. David HaMelech took them to Moab for safety when he was having his whole falling out with Shaul. They're wiped out. You know, the greatest pain in life is to lose family when you have unresolved issues. It's always painful to lose family. But to lose family, to have to say goodbye to parents, to siblings, and you never got a chance to work out those issues, David HaMelech lives a lifetime with pain. It is not pashut to be David. You could quote me on that. It's not. Just the amount of day-to-day things that David HaMelech has to shoulder are just ridiculous. The truth is, this David HaMelech has the kind of baggage that makes people dysfunctional. And yet, amazingly enough, he becomes David Melech Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. But he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm far from perfect. I certainly have many challenges of my own, but at least I understand the most important concept in life. Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. I know how to detach myself from those things that are holding me back, and only afterwards, va'asovava mizbechach Hashem. And only afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I know that I can have a meaningful relationship with you. Yes?
But if that baggage is within yourself, not within those around you, but it's within yourself. How did David able to address that?
You know, I'll tell you something interesting, and I don't know if there are any therapists here, they might not like this, but you know, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos discusses the right, almost like equilibrium of character traits a person has to have. You know, because the idea is that a person has to have really a little bit of every character trait in moderation. So the Rambam discusses, quoting the Gemara, that anger is the most destructive midah. So the Rambam says a person really has to purge anger from themselves. So the Rambam says, so how do you purge anger? So what does the Rambam say? It's very, very profound. The Rambam says, stop getting angry. Stop getting angry. So you think to yourself, I could have been the Rambam with that, right? Hey, what's so you have to understand the profundity of that advice. What the Rambam is saying is, we control the type of people we become. If I just, obviously, there are deep-rooted issues where a person needs a therapist or a person needs professional help. But I think more often than not, people often use others as a crutch when they realize at the end of the day, I have the ability to resolve this. I have the ability to work this out. It's hard. It's difficult. It's grueling. It may make me change so many different parts of my persona. But I have the ability to stop getting angry. So again, It's a simple answer that certainly oversimplifies a very dramatic process, but that's the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying is, at the end of the day, the buck of my life stops with me. And if I know that there's something wrong and all of a sudden it has to be fixed, I have to find the courage to do it. And again, it's a process, and sometimes it takes an entire lifetime to be able to rid myself of those things that are holding me back. It's a journey. Yes.
So striking to me in the words, in terms of David's desire to have been the person to build the Beit HaMikdash.
Oh, so hold on to that, to the next approach.
Okay,
excellent, excellent, good. So this brings us now to approach number three. So again, remember, in approach number one, which was the Malbim. So pretty much David HaMelech is continuing the same theme from last week, or from 2,500 years ago. So the Malbim is saying over here that again, David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm genuine. The Malbim is not picking up as much on the Mizbeach piece as much as he's picking up on Rechitza Nikayon, both representing cleanliness. Rechitza represents, again, a cleanliness of actions. Nikayon represents an inner purity, an inner cleanliness. Second approach, David HaMelech saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I've recognized, Sur Meira, the Aseh Tov. I'm not going to be a Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yado. Erchatz B'Nikayon Kapai, I have to deal with my baggage. I have to detach myself from those things that are negative, holding me back. And only afterwards do I have the ability to approach you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we come to our third approach. So our third approach requires us to look at two other sections. We're not going to do this, I'm going to tell you this outside. In Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin, the Navi relates that after David HaMelech builds for himself a beautiful palatial estate, he has a realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a home. So what happens? He goes ahead and he approaches Nasan HaNavi, and he says to Nasan, I want to build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does Nasan say to David HaMelech? Great idea. Great idea. Except that night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Nasan HaNavi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Nasan, you have to go back to David. And you have to tell David, he is not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nasan a whole nevuah, where essentially he tells David, there's good news and there's bad news. You know, the bad news is you're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. The good news is, you're going to have a son. His name, right, you're going to have a son. And David, you are going to create what we call a dynastic monarchy. You are going to create a monarchy that is, because remember again, David was only the second monarch. And the first monarchy did not end all that well. Shaul and all of his sons are killed. All of his sons are killed, some by the Plishtim, some by other people. Remember, Shaul has one surviving grandson. The whole family's pretty much been wiped out. And of course, David's wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, is also still alive. So David HaMelech has no idea what's going to happen to his monarchy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't worry, you are the first of a dynasty. And a dynasty that will continue for many generations, and a dynasty ultimately that we know will also usher in the Messianic era. And so that's in number seven. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, interesting enough, however, does not tell David why. He never tells David why you're not going to go ahead and usher in, why can't you build the Beis HaMikdash? Now, what's interesting to note is that most of the Mefarshim understand that the Beis HaMikdash, in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you need two things. Number one, you need stable dynastic monarchy. A Beis HaMikdash represents stability, represents equilibrium. You could only build a Beis HaMikdash when there is national stability. National stability, again, is established by stability and leadership, which from a monarchical perspective means that you have a chain of kings. And number two, you need regional security and peace. Neither of those things existed at this point in time when David HaMelech is asking to build a Beis HaMikdash. There's no dynastic monarchy because he just became monarch himself. And there is not regional peace or stability because, again, Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by many, many, many enemies. David HaMelech conquers them afterwards, but at this point in time, that was not in place. Now go to number eight. In number eight, in Divrei Hayamim, however, there's a different discussion. In number eight, Vayomer David l'Shlomo b'no, Shlomo b'ni, excuse me. David HaMelech says to Shlomo his son, Ani hayoim libavi livnos bayis l'shem Hashem Elokai. I wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is now David talking to Shlomo at the end of David's life. I wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Vayhi alai dvar Hashem limor, dam larov shafachto, u'milchamos kidolos asisa, lo sivne bayis l'shmi, ki domim rabim shafachta artsolafonai. So this is amazing, because in number seven, where God is actually communicating to David through Nasan HaNavi, God never tells David the reason why. In Divrei Hayamim, David tells Shlomo, the reason I wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash was why? Was because I spilled much blood. David HaMelech was a warrior. You know, we always say it's interesting that very often, like in artwork, when it depicts King David, it always depicts him how? With his harp. The truth is, it's really, I'm sure David HaMelech spent time, I don't know if he played the harp or not, but I'm sure he spent time with his instruments or composing music, but most of his time was actually spent with the sword. David HaMelech was a fierce, fierce warrior. So David HaMelech says to Shlomo, I know why I couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. It's because I spilled a lot of blood. Because I was a career warrior. Because at the end of the day, remember, David HaMelech doubles the size of territorial Israel, if you could imagine. So under David HaMelech, Eretz Yisrael under his time included what is today modern Syria. You can imagine that for just a moment. Imagine that Eretz Yisrael on your map, all the way through modern Syria and everything. Quite amazing. So David HaMelech says to Shlomo, I couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because I spilled much blood. Now, interesting enough, just as an aside, it's not really a contradiction to number 7, because in number 7, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling David HaMelech essentially is, your monarchy is not going to be peaceful. And because of that, you have to build the Beis HaMikdash in a framework of peace and stability. You won't have peace and stability. Your son Shlomo, because remember, Shlomo HaMelech is a golden age. A golden age. Why is it a golden age? Right, there's Shalom. Why is there Shalom? Because David did all the heavy lifting. Right, because David, remember, we know as a people, there's really only one way you have peace, and that's how? If you conquer your enemies. Right, we know more than anyone, there's no real peace. You know, you conquer your enemies, that's how you have. You conquer them into vassal states. That's how you ultimately have peace with your surrounding neighbors. So Shlomo has a period, Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting here is the following. Now what does that have to do with our capital? Look at number 9. The Al-Sheikh in his commentary on this capital says something absolutely amazing. The Al-Sheikh writes, I'll tell it to you afterwards. Look at number 9. The Al-Sheikh writes, 9 Aleph, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. So Daronel says again, I wash in the cleanliness of my hands, v'asovava mizbechacho Hashem, and I go ahead and I circle your mizbeach God. So what does this mean? Hine omer rabosinu zal, a posuk dirayomim, ki domim rabim shafachto lefonai. This is the pasuk that we just quoted in number 8. That David says to Shlomo, God told me that I can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because God says to David, you spilled much blood before me. So the Medrash writes, Shekisha amar lo hu yisbarach ata lo sivne bayis ki damim rabim shafachta heishiv David va'amar ha'im yesh bi avon al shafchi dami agoyim. So amazing. So David HaMelech is almost like hurt. Now again, whether or not this was a direct message from God or this is what David understood, we'll leave aside for now. But the point is, let's assume it's a direct message from God. David gets a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what? That he can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because he spilled all this blood. But David says, Ribono Shel Olam, why did I spill this blood? I spilled this blood for you. I spilled this blood for Klal Yisrael. This was not recreational killing. This was not recreational war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did all of this for you. And now you're telling me that because of what I did for you, I cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. V'amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lefanai, kilomar harihen ki'ilu dam karbanos hikrafta al mizbeach lefanai. So amazing enough, if you look back at number 8, there's a very important word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, or that David relays that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So number 8, Pasuk 8, look at the last phrase. David says to Shlomo, God said I can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Why? Ki damim rabim shafachta arzo lefanai. Lefanai means what? Before me. Why? Now that word is extra. God could have just said to David, you spilled much blood, but no. The word lefanai is very important. Why? Because lefanai means before me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God says to David, no, I understand that all of the blood that you spilled was lefanai, was like an offering before me. Everything you did, David, I know was not for yourself, was not for your own self-aggrandizement, was not just simply to go to the territorial borders of your kingdom. Everything you did was lefanai, was before me. Look at Pasuk Beis. Okay, sorry, part Beis, 9 days. Therefore, David HaMelech says, Erchatz b'nikayon halev v'tov ha'kavana shahaisa lahapil oyvei Hashem. Therefore, says the Al-Sheikh, this is the meaning of the Pasuk. David HaMelech says, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know that the blood that's on these hands, you know the blood that was spilled, so my hands are clean. My hands that have this blood, this is your blood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was blood that I shed for you. These were wars that I remember. We spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Did David HaMelech want to be a warrior? What did he want to be? He wanted to be a shepherd. If you would have asked David, right? If you would have asked David, where do you want to go? You have one wish. What do you want to do? David HaMelech said, no problem. Give me back my stick. Give me back my shepherding cloak. And I'm happy to be a simple shepherd, anonymous, in the field with just me, my herd, and my God. David HaMelech never wanted this. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, David, I understand. So David says, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be clear on something. Everything I've done for you. So these hands may be filled with blood, but they're clean because it's blood that I shed for you. Ubazeh, back to 9 base. Ubazeh, yichashvu li kimisaviv mizbechacho Hashem bedam chatoos hatzibor shehim besivuv hamizbeach. Loses arba matonos al arba kronos hamizbeach. And ultimately says David, therefore, this is like sacrificial blood. This was my sacrifice to you, Ribono Shel Olam. Remember, and this sacrifice is so profound because David HaMelech gave up so much. He gave up ultimately the life that he wanted, and more importantly, he gave up building the Beis HaMikdash as well, because that's not what God needed of him. What God needed of him was to go ahead and be the warrior to shed much blood. So David HaMelech says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I just want to be clear. Okay, you want to tell me I can't build the Beis HaMikdash? I accept that. But let's just be clear that it's not just simply because I shed blood. Because the blood that I shed, the blood that's on my hands, is blood that's a carbon to you. Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should wash the hands off, the blood off my hands, because it's your blood, Ribono Shel Olam. Esolam mizbechach Hashem. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I can't build the Beis HaMikdash, at least let this blood be like sacrificial blood. Let it be like the blood of Karbonos. Let this be my service to you. So in such a dramatic fashion, what David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, again, I accept the fact that I can't build the Beis HaMikdash, because at the end of the day, Beis HaMikdash requires peace. And David HaMelech says, I'm not going to have a lifetime. David HaMelech has virtually no peace. He has a little bit of peace in the beginning of his monarchy. There's like a honeymoon period. The monarchy where everybody's happy, everything is good, but that very quickly dissolves, and David HaMelech has a lifetime of pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on what you told me in Shmuel Beis, I understand that I can't build the Beis HaMikdash, because at the end of the day, the Beis HaMikdash must be built in a time of dynastic, monarchical, or I should say, a dynastic stability, as well as regional peace. Neither of those are hallmarks of my monarchy, but I just want to be clear. My hands should never be filled with blood in front of you, Ribono Shel Olam. Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. You, Ribono Shel Olam, should clean my hands, because this is the blood I shed because of you. Ve'asovava mizbechacho Hashem. And never let the shedding of this blood place a distance between me and you, Ribono Shel Olam. This is sacrificial blood. So because I have this blood on my hand, allow me to approach you. Of course, not the literal mizbeach, but the figurative mizbeach of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which now leads us to our last approach, which is somewhat similar to approach number three. I want to share with you an amazing medrash. The medrash writes, this is a medrash to Tehillim. Kach b'Rosh Hashanah, bo'in kol bo'i olam, va'omrim lefanav kibnei maron. On Rosh Hashanah, what happens? The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that all the inhabitants of the world, remember, Rosh Hashanah is not just a Jewish event, it's a mankind event. It's a universal event. Everyone, every human being, comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kibnei maron. Kibnei maron literally means like what? Actually, Rashi in Rosh Hashanah gives three different interpretations as to what it means. And interestingly enough, one of the interpretations is kechayolos beis David, like the soldiers of David HaMelech's army. Because what would happen? The soldiers of David HaMelech's army, when they would march out to battle, would march out in single file. In single file, to show ultimately how brave and strong each one of them were. But we normally translate it as sheep. Specifically, what is it referring to? That when the farmer would have to take Maaser Behema, you have to give a tenth of your flock to the Kohen. So what would the farmer do? He would corral all the sheep, make a small opening, and the sheep would come out one by one, and the tenth one, the farmer would stand there with a little paintbrush, with red paint, and he'd make a little shmir on the tenth animal to show that was Maaser Behema. So the image the Gemara is showing is, normally in Judaism, we like to believe that there's safety in numbers. So that's why whatever we do, we try to do as a collective. That's why tefillah, but tzibor is an important idea. When we is a sort of difficult time, we come together to daven, because the understanding that each of us on our own may be deficient, but collectively we're able to bolster, right? Really, it's the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But yet on Rosh Hashanah, everyone has to come before God as an individual. And what happens? Va'af Yisrael over in the front of Akol Ba'e Olam. V'sare umos ha'olam omrim anu nitzachnu v'zakinu bedin. Ve'ein adam yodea minatzach im Yisrael notzchim or umos ha'olam. And the truth is, what happens? There's individual judgment, there's national judgment, and we don't know who was successful in judgment or not. So the nations of the world say they're going to be successful over the Jewish people. The Jewish people say we're going to be successful over the nations of the world. And no one really knows what happens. Over Rosh Hashanah, the Chol Yisrael b'Yom Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah passes, and Yom Kippur comes and we fast. And we wear nice white clothing. Over Yom Kippur, again, Yom Kippur passes, and we still don't know who's going to be successful in the coming year. Once the first days of Sukkot comes, or first day of Sukkot comes, the Chol Yisrael Gidolim Uketanim Notlim Lulaveim Biminayim Biyaminam Vesrogem Bismolam Sheva Hakavas. So what happens? Come Sukkot, and we take our lulav and esrog. So when we take lulav and esrog, everyone knows the Jewish people are going to be successful. Why lulav and esrog is a sign of Jewish success? Different shir. Don't worry about the Yom Narayim stuff right now. I'm skipping to the end. Once Hoshana Rabbah comes, remember Hoshana Rabbah is the seventh day of Sukkot. Hoshana Rabbah is considered to be the chasimas hadin. It is the true sealing of judgment. What do? Notlin arvei nachal. We take willow branches, umakifin sheva hakavas, and we make seven circles. The chazan hakneses omid kamalach elokim, and the chazan stands there like an angel of Hashem because he's wearing a kittel, he's wearing white. The sefer Torah bizra'o, and he's holding a sefer Torah. V'ha'am makifin osu dugmas hamizbeach. And the people circle around him because the chazan is standing in the middle by the bima, and everyone circles around him, reminiscent of when we used to circle around the altar. Shekach shanu rabbeinu b'chol yom hayu makifin es hamizbeach va'omer ana Hashem oshiana ana Hashem atzlichana b'yom hashvi'i hayu makifin sheva pamim. So listen to this. So again, in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to circle the mizbeach seven times on Hoshana Rabbah. So what we do is, even now in the absence of the mizbeach, unfortunately, we still recreate this process and we circle around the bim. We circle around the shul seven times. V'chein mufurash al yidei David melech Yisrael. And this process is even alluded to by David. What does David HaMelech say? Shene emar, erchatz b'nikayon kapayin, v'asovava es mizbechacha Hashem. Because what does David HaMelech describe? Now, what is the Medrash bringing up this pasuk? The Medrash is bringing up this pasuk for what purpose? To teach us about what to do in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. That even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, we still continue to circle the middle of the bimo, which is supposed to remind us of the Mizbeach. Why do we do this? Because David HaMelech did it. Because what is David HaMelech saying? I'll wash my hands in cleanliness, and I will circle your Mizbeach, God. What's the problem? David HaMelech didn't have a Mizbeach. So what did David HaMelech do? David HaMelech did the best that he could by circling something. So too, again, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, absence of the Mizbeach, we too circle the middle bima as well. Umiyad. Malachi Asharis Smechim, and this is amazing. And when the Malachim see us circling the middle bima, the middle of the shul, they rejoice. Va'omrim Nitzchu Yisrael, Nitzchu Yisrael, and they say the Jewish people have been successful. The Jewish people have been successful. So a very strange medrash. What exactly does a medrash mean? Meaning, first of all, again, you understand. Of course, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the medrash uses our pasuk from this capital to highlight this practice of circling the middle of the shul, the middle bima, even in the absence of an actual mizbeach. And for some reason, it's the circling of this middle mizbeach that what? That seals our victory. This is what pushes Klal Yisrael over the top. What's the pshat? So before I answer, I want to show you one more thing. Look at number 11. This is from the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, there is a sefer called Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah, which was not written by the Baal Shem Tov himself. And the Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah, the truth is, part of it is organized by Parsha, but it's like a challenge. There's a lot of different things going on in there. So the Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah has something amazing. Look what he writes over here. Mi she'ein lo mikvah. Let's say someone doesn't have a mikvah. So obviously he's not talking about over here like a biblical immersion. What he's talking about over here is he's talking to, let's say, people who have the minhag, to go to the mikvah every day. Every day. So a person immerses every day in the morning. So what happens if a person doesn't have a mikvah or he's not able for some reason to immerse the mikvah? So what should you do? Listen to this. Yirchotz yadav. So if you can't immerse your body, you should at least wash your hands. V'yomar zeh kodim harachitza me'arizal. And the Baal Shem Tov says, you should say the following tefillah from the Ari. The Ari, of course, was the great Mekobos. So you say the following tefillah. What's the tefillah? L'shem yichud kudsha b'richo shchinte. Literally, for the singular holy name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Eshchina, b'shem kol Yisrael, in the name of all Israel, erchatz b'nikayon kapai, I wash my hands in cleanliness and I circle your Mizbeach. And it should be your will, or it should be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our fathers, that this washing of my hands nechshavas li kilo tavalti b'mikva tahora shel arba'im sa'ah. And it should be, this hand washing should be like I immersed in a mikvah of 40 sa. 40 sa is the most basic measurement of a mikvah. I have no idea what this means. But he says, and in the merit of this, I should bring down the beautiful white, the lovan ha'olyon, the upper white, whatever that means. So what's amazing here is, what is the Arizal saying? So Arizal says, if a person wants to go to the mikveh, and again, obviously, this is only used for customary immersions, not for obviously mandated immersions. But if a person wants to go to the mikveh, but I can't go to the mikveh, it's too cold, it's too wet, so I wash my hands, and what do I say? Yiratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Erchatz b'nikayon kapai, v'asuvava mizbachacho Hashem. What's happening over here? Remember, we've already stated earlier that David HaMelech wanted more than anything, we saw this capital earlier, wanted more than anything to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the one thing that David HaMelech, if you ask David HaMelech, you know, what's the one piece of you that remained unactualized throughout your life? What's the one thing that you wanted to accomplish that you did not accomplish? Because David HaMelech accomplished a lot. He doubled the size of Eretz Yisrael. He created regional security. He began the Messianic line. It's a lot of accomplishments for one person in one lifetime. But if you ask David, what's the one thing you didn't get to do, David HaMelech would have said, I really wanted with all of my heart to build the Beis HaMikdash. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you're not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm sorry, you can't do it. Whatever the reason is, remember, whether it's that because he shed blood, whether it's because, whatever the reason is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David, no. And remember, this was a resounding divine no with a thud. This was a no and there's no appeal. This was a no and let's not talk about it anymore. This was a no and let's not, because remember, Ribbono Shel Olam says no many times. But sometimes a divine no actually means what? Is an invitation to petition God again. Sometimes a divine no actually means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants you to try harder. But there are some times when no means no. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu tries again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Tosef Daber Eilai Od Badab. Stop. David HaMelech Beis HaMikdash. Not going to happen. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. It's not a question of you're not doing it. And David HaMelech lives with the pain of his entire life of something that he wanted to do so badly, but he cannot. But amazingly enough, what does David HaMelech do? Erchatz b'nikayon kapai means what? Ribono shel olam, I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the cleanliness, in the accomplishment, in the purity that I am able to attain. And I will be as happy with that as if I had the ability to circle your Mizbeach. David HaMelech over here is teaching us an incredible, incredible yisod. And we've quoted this concept before. That life rarely works out the way you plan. life rarely goes in the direction in which you had intended. And the truth is, when you find yourself in a situation either that you did not want to be in, or perhaps a little bit more compromised than you originally thought, people have choices. And what are my choices? I could spend all of my energy lamenting what did not occur. I could spend all of my energy lamenting why things went wrong. I could go ahead and wag an accusatory finger heavenward and say, "Zelo fair, it's not right. I did everything right. I did everything you asked me, and you still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did not come through on your side." And the truth is, Those are understandable accusations. But David HaMelech says it's a waste of time. Instead, sometimes a person has to accept the reality of their circumstances and maximize their current circumstances. David HaMelech, after he goes in, is told by the Ribono Shel Olam that you can't build the Beis Hamikdash. And remember, this is very early on in David's monarchical career. David is told it's not going to happen. How many times does David HaMelech speak about it for the rest of his life? How many times? Take a wild guess.
None.
Can't be none, because I put the source on your sheet. Right? How many times? One other time. The only other time he ever mentions the Beis HaMikdash is when? When he's giving final instructions to Shlomo. And he says, Shlomo, I never got to build it. You know what that means? You know what those bookends mean? Those bookends are the bookends of a life that had a lot of pain. Pain over not being able to do something that you so desperately want. And David HaMelech has this repeatedly. First of all, remember, becoming monarch is something he didn't want. But yet he had to accept that what? Even though this was not the life he wanted, it is still the life he has. Now, fine, I'm monarch. And as monarch, there are many wonderful things you could do. Namely, I can build the Beis HaMikdash. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? What does God say? You're not building the Beis HaMikdash. If you're David HaMelech, you have every single right to say, Ribono Shel Olam, you know what? To be honest, you'll excuse me, I'm sick and tired of this. You know, first, you plucked me from the life that I liked. I liked that life. Okay, my family didn't like me. My father wasn't nice to me. My brothers weren't nice to me. No, sometimes you can't pick your family. Okay, but you know what? I made my peace with that. And I had a good life. And now you plucked me from obscurity and you made me king. I didn't want it, but I accept it. As king, at least allow me to do something magnificent. I'm going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry, can't build the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, why can't you build the Beis HaMikdash? Why can't you build the Beis HaMikdash? Because you did what I asked. Excuse me? So now, I fought your wars, I shed your blood, I did your bidding, Ribono Shel Olam, and now I'm penalized for doing the right thing? I can't do the one thing that I really want to do because I did what you asked of me? It's counterintuitive. It's absolutely counterintuitive to the human mind. But amazingly enough, David HaMelech does not spend 1 ounce of energy lamenting what could have been, what should have been. Instead, David HaMelech spends his time figuring out how to maximize his current circumstances. How do I go ahead and make the most of the life that the Ribono Shel Olam has given me and not spend my time lamenting what I don't have? And that's the pshat in this pasuk. And by the way, that's the Baal Shem Tov is saying. The Baal Shem Tov is saying, let me say the pasuk first. So, Erchatz b'nikayon kapaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? Listen, I have to find the cleanliness and the purity. What does it mean, kapai, my hands? What do my hands represent? My hands represent the life that I make for myself. I have to find the cleanliness, the inner cleanliness. We can bring everything together. The inner cleanliness, the inner purity, the outer purity. I have to find the greatness, the beauty, and the holiness in the life that I have created for myself. And you know what? I'm never going to get to circle your Mizbeach, but I'm going to be just as happy. Whatever life I'm able to make for myself, I will find as much joy in that life as if I would have built for you the Beis HaMikdash and had the privilege to go ahead and circle your Mizbeach. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, you know what, the person wants to go to the mikvah, but they can't get to the mikvah. So what do? I can't get to the mikvah. What am I supposed to do? What do I say? The Shem Yuchel Kutcher Bricho, Erchatz B'nikayon Kapai, V'asovova Mizbechach HaShem. Because that becomes code word for what? Sometimes the things that you want in life, you can't have. And you know what? You have to find the joy in the life that you have and not spend your time lamenting the life that you would have wanted. I want to get to the mikvah. I can't, says the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, at least at Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to try to find the meaning in my current circumstances. What does the Medrash mean? Remember, go back to the Medrash in number 10 for just a moment. What did the Medrash say? The Medrash said that when we go ahead and on Hoshana Rabbah, we circle the Mizbeach. We circle the Bima in Shul. We circle the middle of the Shul. And what do the Malachim say when we do that? Oh, suddenly we've been successful. Now, it's so strange. Rosh Hashanah, we're not sure if we've been successful. Yom Kippur, I'm not sure if I've been successful. Sukkah, I'm not sure if I've been successful. Suddenly now I circle the shul with a lulav and esrog and some willow branches in my hand, and suddenly I'm successful. Because what does that circling represent? That circling represents the idea we're reenacting that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And ultimately what we're saying is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And my heart pines for the Beis HaMikdash every single day. But even though I don't have what I want, that will not hold me back from accomplishing what I know I need to do. I will find the same simcha in the life that I have, even though it's not necessarily the life that I want. And when the Malachim see us circling the Bima, and we have as much simcha in that moment as we did when our forefathers circled the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, the Malachim say, Nitzchu. Lashon is, Nitzchu Yisrael, Nitzchu Yisrael. Netzach means success, to overcome, to victor. Those are victorious people. Those are successful people. Because successful people are the ones who are able to accept their current circumstances, not lament the ones that got away. Successful people are the ones who are able to maximize their current circumstances, even if it's not the circumstances that they signed up for. Successful people are the ones who are able to take the life that God gave them and do something magnificent instead of wagging the accusatory finger about the life that should have been. And here's what David HaMelech is teaching us again in this one simple phrase. Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. Often life does not turn out the way that we want. And for David HaMelech, this was true on so many different levels. But you have to find the rechitza, you have to find the purity and the cleanliness, the inner purity and the inner cleanliness in what? In the life that you create kapai with your own hands. Va'asavava mizbechacha Hashem. We all have this image of what we wanted our life to be. We all have this image of what we had hoped things would be like. David HaMelech had that also. And David HaMelech says, all I yearned for is to circle your Mizbeach Ribono Sha'olam. But I find as much joy, as much completion, as much self-actualization in my current circumstances as if I had built the Beis HaMikdash for you. And David HaMelech hopes that we could find the same fulfillment as well. Accept our circumstances. And again, it doesn't mean you don't try to change your circumstances. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. A person always has to try their best to change their circumstances for better. But sometimes there are just certain realities that are what they are. David HaMelech says, don't spend your time lamenting why you're in this situation, but instead find the way to maximize it. Bring out the greatest purity and holiness in the life that your hands have created, and find as much joy in the life that you have as you would have found in the life that you wanted. All right, we'll stop over here. This is our last...